episode 479 of Global from Asia podcast, year-end community reflections.
Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business is broken down into straight-up actionable advice.
Thank you all for tuning in. Global from Asia podcast, the last one for 2025. And it is taking two sides of the planet in the e-commerce community space together to reflect on the year and the community. globalfromasia.com/year-end-2025.
Yes, it is a great episode to wrap up the year and the first half of the 2020 decade. Getting vibes of wrapping up 2025, excited for 2026.
Definitely. The only constant in life is change. So today we have on the show Augustas, founder of Orange Click, known for his amazing events in Europe, such as the infamous European Seller Conference. Augustas and Mike will share about the conferences, the community, the trends they have seen in Asia, Europe, and globally in the e-commerce Amazon FBA space. Let's tune in.
Thank you, everybody, for choosing to listen to or maybe watch Global from Asia. We're getting up to 500 episodes. It's pretty crazy. I have another community leader and acquaintance in the community, a friend, being over the years. I haven't met in person. We have to fix that soon. Augustas from Orange Click also does amazing things like European Sellers Conferences and in Europe and many more things. So how are you doing today, Augustas?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Thank you for inviting me, Mike. And yes, we knew each other for a while.
We've been talking a while.
And to be honest, I think the first time I heard about you, about your cross-border summit some years ago when I was planning my first physical events as well. And I was consulting with some experts which talked at your event and they shared what they learned from your event, which I later implemented in my events.
Awesome.
And yeah, so this is how I know you from the start. Great. And it was nice to keep in touch.
Yeah, we had a nice catch up towards the end of the year, talking about what we're seeing in the industry and our events and the community. And I thought it's getting towards the end. It is the end of this year. I can't believe we're halfway through a decade. Can you believe 2020? 5 years. So now we're going to the second half of the decade. And I feel like I'm post-COVID still, but COVID's been going for a while, but we're getting closer to 2030 now. How do you feel?
Yeah. I feel okay in terms of what, of course, when we were during COVID times, we don't need to talk about this, but yeah, it was when I was inspired to do a lot of events myself and then I had to shut down. But now for me, it feels like everything in that term is pretty okay. And of course, I think there are other things. Maybe the world is shaking because of some economy. It's not clear what can happen or what's happening already. And so many crazy things are happening in the world. And I think it affects our sellers as well, our communities. Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be fun for everybody here from both of our perspectives. But let's first start with just events in general. We mentioned each other's events, but maybe you can share a bit about your European Sellers Conference and what is coming up in March of 2026 and how many times now?
Yeah, myself, I was in the industry for 9 years, and the European Seller Conference we are organizing in Prague next March is already the sixth conference in Prague. But besides that, we had another six physical events in other four countries. But our event in Prague is the biggest focus because I feel like this project became like the most important for European sellers to reconnect with each other. And we see a lot of people are coming back to that event. Maybe 40-35% of people are coming back. And just now, of course, we are selling tickets. They're still 3 months into the event and we already maybe sold like 50 tickets to like basically previous customers who were in the event. And what's nice that they are coming. First, they come one person, then they bring business partner. And then third year, they come four people, bringing more of the team. And so this is the biggest project we're focusing with my team, putting lots of effort. And that's why sometimes people who are following us, maybe they are missing for other physical events, but we're a small team. And we really like to focus on this event in Prague. We select speakers in a very careful way. Like, it takes 3-4 months for us to make a lineup of speakers. We don't take anyone who wants to speak, but yeah, we compare the topics, the expertise level, the how much people want those experts and so on. So it's an exciting project. And I haven't seen many other events of this kind in Europe. There is maybe Danny McMillan doing something.
Yeah, Danny.
I think he's also like pivoting a little bit his event style. But yeah, event industry in Amazon community is not so easy. And also doing events, maybe it's less profitable than selling on Amazon or selling services to Amazon sellers. So that's why we don't see many new events popping up. Yeah. Because it's not an easy kind of type of business. And you do yourself one event per year.
Yep,
and it takes probably several weeks to organize that and months.
Yeah, I think it's back of our mind. I think we're very similar. I can't wait till we meet in person, but I feel like bad, but we will soon. But I feel like we have similar. I think we're always thinking, it's always in a part of our day-to-day, like our whole year. We're planning next year. When we finish this year, we're planning next year, right? So it's just baked into our workflow, our daily life.
Yes.
And it's a labor of love, right? It's hard to measure the value of an event. Actually, I don't even know if I told you or anybody, but during the whole aggregator craze, people tried to buy the conference or buy my podcast or community. I maybe should have sold, or I could have got, I don't know. How do you value somebody buying a conference or buying a community like website, podcast? I don't know. But yeah, I think now, like, Les, we see who's real, right? You're doing it. I'm doing it. Like, you see the people, Danny, these people are real. I don't want to say bad about others. I think to do it in these tougher times, which we'll also share about in our discussion today, is I think when the real people stand out, right? The real conferences stand out.
Yeah, so talking about events, I think a lot of good events are happening in the United States because it's a huge country, so it's much more chances that there will be an initiator of events. And there are like events like AESGTG, where a lot of, I think, Jewish community members are coming. Inspire, I think it's a good event in autumn in New York most of the time. Prosper Show, I don't know, I haven't been. It's the biggest probably in the...
Yeah, I haven't been either. It's industry. Crazy. I thought you had been. I haven't been either.
No, I haven't. But I wonder if there is a value to go to Prosper Show for Amazon seller. Maybe for service providers, it is because they can connect with other partners. Maybe they can get some clients. But yeah, it's an interesting event as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, what I want to say that most, of course, are happening in US, the good events and biggest. And in Asia, I'm in Europe, it's a little bit more difficult to attract the attendees. And the more you attract, the more, of course, you get revenue for the event. So the more you can create later. And in our case, we're juggling how to minimize the costs, how to increase the revenue. And we are not really relaxed every year because event is also not growing. Yeah, because I think some sellers bankrupting or having a hard time and new sellers popping up. So we are just replacing our event is like up to 200 people. And I think some are finishing their businesses, some are building up. So this is how the rotation works in our event.
Yeah, I feel similar. Ours is across border, some is a bit smaller, so 100, 120. Next year, we're going to try to get bigger. We changed to a bigger venue first. So I have a little bit more pressure, but I think it's time. So hopefully get maybe closer to the 200 mark is our goal. But just a second, what you said, I mentioned it. We talked about COVID. The other part of COVID was the aggregator, and that changed the industry so much. They were buying everything. I was consulting with a couple of different aggregators over that time. And the kind of sad thing is they're my friends. They're still my friends, but they sold their Amazon, their business, their brand. They sold their company. I'm happy for them. If they don't sell on Amazon, do they really need to come to a conference? You know what I mean? So I think quite a few sold during the coronavirus or the aggregator craziness. I actually think they were, especially seems like they were smart to do it. I even was considering, I sold one of my smaller brands earlier into that, but I should have sold more at that time. But that changed the industry so much. I don't know about in Europe, but in Asia, especially because a lot of people are expats. We're English language community. Of course, we welcome locals, Chinese and Thais and Vietnamese, but primarily we're like foreigner or Westerner attendees and community. COVID and the aggregator really just turned, like you're saying, like it's almost like a whole new thing. Like we had a gap. We didn't do a cross-border summit from 2019 to 2023. We did it 2016, 17, 18, 19, 4. And then 20 almost paid the hotel. I didn't. I know you did yours right at the beginning of 2020, but mine would have been November 2020. So I'm so lucky I didn't put deposit down because I don't think that would have happened. And we waited. Why we waited so long is because China didn't open again. China didn't open until February, Chinese New Year 2023. If you look it up, they were so late. So we waited till 23 November. So it was like, so we just finished number 7. We have one more. But yeah, it's Kona, like a new community. There's been people that have, some people have been to maybe 6 of ours, 7. I don't know about every single one besides me and my wife, but some have been to like 6 or 7. Some came back this year that hadn't been there since 2018, 2019. But there's just been, like you, what you're saying, there has been this turnover, people leaving the industry. And but then again, is there that many new sellers coming? I don't know. Do you see that? I don't.
In our case, for physical event, it's hard for us to, probably we don't get many new sellers because we are positioning our event for 7-figure sellers. So yes, if you are new, probably you will reach 7 figures only in half a year or 1 year, or at the best case scenario. Yeah, we are targeting kind of established sellers. And when we do survey, most of people are already in the business at least 1 year. And maybe 60 or 70% are 7 figures, at least million in revenue. Yeah, when we talk about the event in Prague, European Seller Conference, we do some other events which are maybe cheaper tickets, and our production, we try to make it cheaper. And then, of course, we get like a lot of big teams coming, just, or even companies which don't sell on Amazon, and they just want to learn about Amazon.
But okay.
So we get such attendees as well. But yeah, the Prague event is only established sellers in my case.
Yes, same at the summit for cross-border. And but yeah, I just spoke to another person a few hours ago in a community. I don't want to reveal names, but he's having a tough time. I had lunch with somebody earlier this week, Monday. He does supplement brand and for 8 years, and he's getting squeezed hard, he says. It does seem like it's harder time. So I think I don't want to like depress people, but I think maybe some people listening are, I know a lot of people don't talk to other people. So I was just thinking maybe to realize you're not alone. I think there's some people I've been talking to that I think they're feeling a little bit down right now. So I think, I hope not everybody's down. I know some people must be growing and happy, but I think it's more common I talk to people in a tighter spot right now. I think the economy, and I don't know, what are you seeing?
Yeah, I feel when we start selling tickets to an event in Prague, very often within like maybe 6-8 weeks, we sell maybe half of the VIP tickets or even more. So there is a kind of high demand usually for VIP tickets, which are more expensive among the people who are returning to our conference. But this year, I see one our loyal customer is buying a regular ticket, another regular ticket. I'm like, these guys were always going to VIP day. What happened? And I asked one guy, like, are you okay financially? And he said, yeah, it was a really tough year. Of course, margins, profit margins shrinking. And he says he's talking to other European sellers. And he said, yeah, it's everybody has a kind of hard time. And of course, when sellers have hard time, service providers also have hard time. That means maybe not. It can be harder to get sponsors for the events, which I feel also that your companies are not so taking quick decisions like in the past when they get sponsorship offers. And yeah, little interesting how it will end or where we are going. I just would like that these core events, yours in Asia, ours in Europe, and like in US, some most important events, they stay. But as an event organizer, you also cannot work for free. We can make sure our event is not negative in the final balance, but it would be nice to make a profit so that the team can rest for a few months on this money and plan other events. Agreed. So let's see what will happen.
Agreed. Most of our sellers sell in the US market. Is yours are generally selling in the European market?
So if we talk about physical event in Prague, according to survey we did, so most people are coming from Europe, so they are European based, but they are selling maybe 70% of them selling in Europe and maybe 60% of them selling in America. So it's like there is a very big balance, like a lot of people are selling in Europe, some people selling in both regions. And there are also European sellers who are doing really great just in America, and they are coming maybe to our conference to learn how to enter with their products Europe, even though they are Europeans themselves. So it's a big mix. And of course, like European sellers, Europe is not Europe. I cannot call it one.
Yeah, it's true.
Like
yeah,
US.
It's true.
You know?
It's true. It's true.
We are all living in our own bubbles. Germans are living in their completely separated ecosystem. And sometimes I remember one of the big software companies were sponsoring a German event, American software company, and then nobody wanted to talk to them. Even they had influencers, which everybody know, promoting this brand. And then German said, like, why should I sign up for you when I know this German company is doing the same good job, even they're more expensive, but they are from Germany. Like Germans, they are like really looking into German-made softwares and a lot of German tools for Amazon sellers. They don't even have English website. They just have German website for years.
Interesting.
And so it's interesting. So Germany is really big in that. I'm sure like maybe France or Spain, they also have like small like communities and microsystems. But when we organize a conference where we want to attract people from all the countries, it's challenging in terms of promotion because we don't have really access to communities, local communities in each country. We most of the time don't speak the language of those communities. If we don't have these kind of possibilities to speak their language and to talk to them directly, then it's hard to promote if they don't follow English-speaking influencers or us, which we also create content in English. So yeah, like Europe is always, it's one unity, but it's really separated. Everybody lives their own life in their own borders. And I wonder how it's in Asia. Is it also that it's probably different languages, different cultures?
It's a I guess the one difference maybe from Europe or Asia is there's like Americans and Europeans and expats that are here, and there's this English or expat bubble. So every like city, even in China, there's like English language groups that exist. And then like I try to say, and I do welcome locals, if to me Chinese seem to integrate more with foreigners in China than I noticed Thai in Thailand, but we do welcome them. Sometimes Thai come, but usually it's more English language expats, foreigners that are in all these groups, or the locals that speak good English come, but then most are selling US market. Europe is still some, there are some, but most are US market living in Asia and then communicating in English and English software. But of course, in China, I don't live China now. I go there often. I do business there, of course. And China is a little bit different. Sometimes even foreigners use Chinese software to try to have an advantage. They think the Chinese language one is better or cheaper or black hat or more stealth, something like this. So there's that group too. And then Vietnam has been really booming. Lots of Vietnamese sellers. I don't really tap into that market too much. I've spoken there at some events and I know some of the communities there, but I don't know if that made sense. But there's kind of like the local communities and then there's the expat communities in each of these buckets. And then some are usually if the locals have quantity, right? So even for me, like, sponsors or, you know, even speakers, sometimes say, oh, they want to target the local community because they think maybe there's more Chinese sellers or there's more Vietnamese sellers or Thai. There's actually not that many Thai sellers relative to Chinese or Vietnamese. But then there's the expats like me. And we're like hard to target, hard to know because we're digital nomads. A lot of us were traveling all over the place. Sometimes go to Europe. Some people came across Border Summit, come from like Netherlands, and they spend half a year in Netherlands and half a year in Thailand. There's a group of these people that go back and forth, or Canada. We have some people from Canada. They spend sometimes they relocate, or sometimes they come here for a couple months in a year, then they go back, or Canton Fair. Canton Fairs, we also pick our dates always around the Canton Fair. So people are coming in for that as well. And then they can also come to ours since they're on this side of the world.
Yeah, Canton Fair, I remember I saw a lot of advertisings in the past from kind of experts in the industry go to China and do the sourcing trips. But in the last years, I haven't seen so many. Not everybody is, maybe there are a few which are still bringing people to Canton Fair, but I felt like in the past there were more.
I feel like it's also just a reflection of the economy or the market, or maybe it's also maturing of the community, but there's definitely less. I won't say specific ones, but there's still some to do it. Like, I don't keep track of everybody, but a lot of them do this. Some do it more like professionally, some do it more informally, where they bring a group of their community from their, it doesn't have to be from their country, but, or they meet in Canton Fair, hotels, groups. I've even done a couple. I haven't really ever done it as a formal big thing. Sometimes I did a group even with Amazon Singapore one time. Global Selling work with me to bring some Singapore sellers to Canton as a package trip. But I think it's somewhat repetitive, right? Like, how many times, I think is one, it's like, how many times do I need to do a group? First of all, how many times do I need to go to Canton Fair? Second, how many times do I need a group trip to Canton Fair? I could go by myself. And then I think three is just the economy, right? I know some people that go to those more than once, like as an attendee, because they like the networking and it's all done for you and you just enjoy. But I just think people have less discretionary money right now. And so I've noticed even other geographies that had kind of like local events, they've also slowed it down. I think it's maybe the economy or the mark, or just how many times can you really do such an event? That's why like people thought cross-border summits about like selling in China or selling in Thailand or Southeast Asia. We always just say like global selling, maybe we're perspective from Asia, but we are just doing an event like anywhere in the world, but in this location, like an international event.
Yeah, of course, there are like our events, for example, yours and ours, probably focusing more on Amazon sellers. And there are probably a lot of events which are just general e-commerce or specific e-commerce, other niches, and maybe we don't hear about them as well.
Shopify, a lot of people tell me, yeah. Shopify. I'm actually trying to have some kind of a dual track or dual, I don't know if you will consider that, but you can also call it D2C, direct to consumer. I think it's harder, but I did it in China. I did a couple of years where I had two rooms, two tracks. So I'm considering a D2C track with, you can call it Amazon or you can call it marketplace, selling on a marketplace versus selling direct to consumer, like on, which is usually almost the same as Shopify, right? So people say Amazon, Shopify, but basically what they're saying is marketplace or D2C. Because you could even do other marketplaces like Bol. And I don't know if people ever talk about Bol in Europe, or Walmart or Lazada or Taobao or even AliExpress, or that's selling on a marketplace or a platform. And then there's the other where you have your own website like Shopify, WooCommerce, and you're trying to get customers there directly. That can where it gets into the SEO world, because there's actually some big SEO conferences. So Shopify and D2C kind of starts getting into SEO, or Facebook ads, Google ads. That's another. But yeah, I've actually had people asking about it, and it's really funny, actually. Some people come to the event without really reviewing the full details. I don't know. And they're more Shopify seller, but they still get value out of it. But they definitely notice we're heavier on the Amazon in our conference over the years.
Yeah, in our event in Prague, I think people analyze what they will get a lot in advance, because besides the tickets, they also have to invest in travel and accommodation. We have out of all the attendees, only maybe 10% are local from the Czech Republic, but all others are flying in and or driving by car or by bus or by train. And I'm sure before they invest into the ticket, like 500, 600 euros and plus a similar amount for accommodation and trip, for some are important, the speakers, of course, but some people just know it's not only about speakers, it's the value you get when you network with other big sellers.
Yeah.
And you get partnerships, you get hacks, if you want.
Yeah, and the hacks. So it's one of my favorite testimonials. He's actually, I'm not sure which European country, but I hate to say European. Rollins. Actually, I haven't.
He's Latvian, I think.
Oh, yeah,
Rollins.
I met him. Yeah.
He was in one of our events some 6 years ago, I think. Latvian.
I haven't heard from him lately. I miss him. I actually even tried for him. But he's great. And he has a testimonial of our event. He's like, I skipped the VIP dinner the first day, or I skipped the networking, not dinner. He says, I skipped the networking. I went to my hotel and I implemented one of the hacks I learned and I paid for the ticket in a day or something. It was like
nice. Perfect.
That's like the best testimonial.
Yeah.
I didn't ask that. I didn't ask him to say that, but it's true, right? If you're a big enough seven-figure seller and you learn one thing, that you easily can pay your ticket. That should be positive ROI. We should use that in our event marketing. But
yeah.
But yeah, I just do feel like just everybody's tighter right now. I just think it's just like you said, it's like a scary time. It's a quieter time too, at least for me. Maybe I'm just in my bubble, but it just feels quieter too.
I think it's, probably it's true. And hopefully we'll all manage to navigate through the events. You're also running your Amazon brand.
Yeah.
And we can hope for best for all our followers and all the Amazon sellers who are attending events and learning online.
So one of the things I've been telling my team in the Amazon brand is we have to just change is an opportunity, right? It's good. We should end on a high note. We're starting to wrap up here, but it's scary, but it's also, it should be exciting. One of the brands is I'm thinking about changing a whole category or adding a whole new category. Use this as a time to experiment. Use this as a time to try something new. I think that's reality. I tell people, if things stay the same, you're not growing. We have to grow by pushing ourselves and trying new things. And if we keep doing the same way, you have to try different ways for everybody listening. And come to the event in March, EuropeanSellerConference.com, right? Is that the best place? And
yes.
Where else?
Yes, and they can visit our YouTube channel, which is called Orange Click, K-L-I-K.
Yep.
And there we post two or three videos a week with Amazon experts. It's basically interviews where Amazon experts are presenting their strategies with slides most of the time.
Awesome. Yeah, I was a guest there too, and I enjoyed that. You do great work for the community, and it's great that we keep in touch and help each other, and I'm excited for the new year.
Yeah, it was a pleasure to chat with you, and good luck in your business, Amazon business and events.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you.
Very cool, Mike. Thank you for sharing those insights. I'm excited for the next 5 years. How do you feel about things?
I have to say, I am comfortable in the e-commerce space. I feel physical products still are the most evergreen place to be in this rapidly changing world with AI and robots. Building a brand, as I and many experts over the years have said in the community, is the long-term equity you are building.
Yes, it's a good reminder with many of the experts in the space of e-commerce and cross-border trade here sharing. If it was easy, then everyone would do it.
Yup. And those easier, lower barrier to entry things, you're seeing more people coming in and doing it. The hard things are the things worth building.
Cheers to that. Let's rock the new year and see you all in 2026.
To get more info about running an international business, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.